This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
The event will be at the Mount Zion Convention Center. The evening will include dinner, silent and live auctions, dancing and drinks. For those who attended last year, this evening we'll have a few new things, including an app for the silent auction and some other surprises. Exactly what those surprises might be, well, you'll just have to attend the gala and find out. That's why they're called surprises. For more content, visit nowdecatur.com.
A potential strike goes off the rails. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News, a tentative agreement early this morning stopped a railroad worker walkout that could have happened tomorrow, halting shipments of a third of American freight. President Biden announced the deal in a statement.
An important win for our economy and the American people. It is a win for tens of thousands of rail workers who worked tirelessly through the pandemic to ensure that America's families and communities got deliveries of what have kept us going during these difficult years. But remember, experts estimate the freight shutdown could have cost the U.S. economy over $2 billion.
Well, that's Fox Business Network's Cheryl Cassone. Passenger service could have also been affected. Amtrak had already canceled some long-distance trains, and commuter rail lines in several cities could have stopped. Two more buses of migrants that came to the U.S. illegally arrived this morning in Washington, D.C., this time at the Naval Observatory, Vice President Harris's home, sent from Texas by Republican Governor Greg Abbott, who's protesting Biden administration border policies.
We know from Governor Abbott's office there have been about 7,900 migrants on over 190 buses coming to D.C., more than 2,200 on more than 40 buses to New York, and of course about 5 buses to Chicago. These are not all single adults. A lot of families getting off of this bus.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. The mayors of those cities have called Abbott immoral and inhumane. GOP Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has faced similar criticism. He sent 2 charter flights of migrants yesterday to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. The leaders of 2 U.S. adversaries are meeting today, Russia and China, for the first time since before the invasion of Ukraine. In the last couple of weeks, Ukraine's military has liberated 3,100 square miles of territory. There's now a 4-mile line in London to view the late Queen Elizabeth's coffin.
I've heard 3 sentiments repeated this week. We love the Queen. We do pomp and ceremony better than anyone else. And we're used to doing queues. We do queues well. Queues being lines, of course, in British English.
That's Fox's Amy Kellogg in London. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's heroes and their families since 9/11. U.S. Army Specialist Jason Wheeler is one such hero. He re-enlisted after 9/11, but training accident injuries left him unable to walk. Specialist Wheeler and his family received a mortgage-free smart home that's custom-designed for his needs. Help heroes like Jason and their families. Join Tunnel to Towers' mission to do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org.
Dell Technologies' semi-annual sale has arrived, and it's time to upgrade to the latest business technology. Save big on laptops and desktops with Windows 11 Pro. Plus, get amazing deals on server, storage, and cloud solutions, as well as top work accessories, including docks, monitors, and more. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for special business offers during our semi-annual sale.
Hours before President Biden got involved in the negotiations that led to a tentative agreement to avert a railroad workers' strike, he was in Detroit checking out cars.
President Biden got behind the wheel of an electric Cadillac SUV at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit.
I like it.
The president, a self-described car guy, says the vehicles displayed gave him reason to be optimistic about the U.S.
Now we're choosing to build a better America. An America that's confronting the climate crisis, with America's workers leading the way.
Republicans have been critical of the climate priorities, arguing EVs remain out of reach for most Americans, and the administration is not doing enough to reduce the price of gas fueling most U.S. vehicles. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Now, the price at the pump continues the daily decline from June's record. AAA's national average for regular is just under $3.70 per gallon. That's $1.32 less than the all-time high, but still 51 cents more than we were paying a year ago. On Wall Street, stock futures are down modestly from the big gain, or the modest gains yesterday from the big sell-off on Tuesday. Now, this is all ahead of reports later this hour on retail sales and weekly unemployment claims. A new Fox poll out shows more people disapprove of President Biden than those who think he's doing a good job.
Just 38% say the Biden administration has competently managed the government. That's down 13 points in a year. And yet, the poll finds 34% approve of his handling of the economy. While that is pretty low, it's up a few points compared to July. Still, specifically on inflation, the president's approval rating is at 29%, and his overall approval rating stands at 43%.
That's Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. A tropical storm has formed in the Atlantic. Fiona could hit Puerto Rico this weekend. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
In 1965, my father founded Brinkotter Realtors with a singular goal: to support his community's real estate needs with integrity, purpose, and a forward-facing approach to business. Over 55 years later, Brinkotter Realtors still embodies that spirit. Connection, commitment, community. When you're planning to make a move, go with the name you know. Get the service you deserve. Go to Brinkotter.com to connect with one of our agents today.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
Another beautiful morning in downtown Decatur. Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high near 84, and tonight partly cloudy with a low of 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 84, and Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 57 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:06.
Big hour coming up. We've got Paul Osborne, former mayor of Decatur, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, City Hall Insider, in the studios. Check in with Mark Topper and then our Richland Community College segment. Thursday, 7 o'clock hour starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Here's a heads up from Lindsay this morning. If you update your iPhone to the iOS 16, you need to go to the App Store for nowdecatur.com for our app and just click the download icon. It will take like 3 seconds and you're good to go. Otherwise, it won't open. With all things come glitches, right?
Time to update the app.
Yeah. So normally that will do it by itself, or you'll have it, scheduled if you have your updates ready. Just go to, I literally did it during the break. It takes like 3 seconds and you're good to go. So if you're streaming through our app this morning or having problems with that, if you downloaded or updated your phone to iOS 16, just take the couple seconds to do that and you'll be good to go.
Awesome. Good, good help.
Just let you know. All right. So we've got a lot to get to, here today. Paul Osborne in the studios. City council, and mayoral, races coming up in the spring. I know everybody's got their eye on November, but to me, the election that impacts you the most happens next spring.
Yeah, and it kind of gets lost, I think, in the process of the general election, and everyone's focused on that. All the commercials are about that. But almost immediately after that election is over, you have the filing of petitions for those who are running, and
right.
Some are already announcing.
And part of it is a calendar thing. You got the election that first week of November, and then you get into Thanksgiving and get into Christmas, and the last thing you want to do is be inside, people are celebrating, it's family time. So you really got to hit the ground running in January, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think the emphasis really is to get your name out there if you're going to run. Be sure your name's going to be on the ballot. There's going to be enough candidates that you're going to be on the primary ballot. I think since they changed the rules on this, it's kind of unlikely we have a primary anymore for the city council. Used to.
Which is good, because we go to quite a bit of taxpayer expense just to sort of take one name
person
off
out. Yeah, and I think that's probably the reason it got changed, is that there were a few years that because one person who wasn't even serious about running you know, really cost taxpayers thousands of dollars to hold an election to get rid of that one person, which happened.
Yeah. So we have now Councilwoman Lisa Gregory, who has come out and announced her reelection efforts. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf has said she's going to run for reelection. Are you hearing any other names out there? Because we have Bill Faber we still don't know about, and we have Mr. Cooper, who was appointed to fill the vacancy of Rodney Walker's seat, I believe. We don't know about those two.
No, and I think I mentioned last week that I'd really contacted Bill when he sent his column. I responded back and asked him about what he was going to do about reelection. I haven't heard from him back yet, so either he hasn't made up his mind or he wants to announce it in his own time.
Sure.
Which is understandable. I think at this point, too, there are people who may be interested in running. They're seeing how many incumbents are going to run, because it's probably going to be tougher if all the incumbents decide to run, because they already have their name out there. They're already on the council. So I think that's part of it. And I think it's good if you're an incumbent to get your name out there. Julie did, and also Lisa, that they're saying, you know, we're running for another term, and so that's already set. They're there. And it kind of gives those who might be thinking about running for mayor maybe second thoughts, or maybe they want to run anyway.
Yeah, I wondered what the COVID fallout, you know, would be, because you know, particularly for the mayor, you know, she had to be the face of all that. Didn't choose to be, didn't want to be, didn't like it, but you know, that landed on her watch. You know, I figured that there would be people lined up wanting to beat her up with that.
Yeah, could be.
Also are a lot of people that yell that don't actually follow through and do anything.
Yeah, they're just yellers. Yeah. They're screamers and yellers, and then they go home and do something else. Or they just do it from their home, and that's yeah. Their involvement. And I think when you look at you know, the last few years, it has been a tough gig to be mayor, to be a leader, to make those kinds of decisions. I think Julie was well-equipped in terms of communicating you know, what the city wanted to do, and also her background in health care and that.
With all of it. What still just blows me away is that people who were mad at her because she happened to be mayor when a global pandemic hit, that she was doing something completely different than governors and presidents and foreign leaders and all across the world, that somehow Macon County or the city of Decatur was worse because of her.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just so small.
I guess you have to blame somebody. So if you're not going to blame your own small mind, I guess you have to look out and find someone to blame.
Or that she was part of this grand conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, coordinating with, you know, heads of state across the oceans. It's just silly to me.
Well, and I think you look at the mayor's role in the community. You know, the mayor is the face of the community. And
good or bad.
That's right. And so I think she did a great job in being mayor during a difficult time. And I think you look around and say, that was not a good time to be mayor.
She didn't dock any of it, though.
She
was out there front and center. And for those out there who like to just chirp away, you know, I question whether there's many of you that could have done it.
Have
withstood sort of that kind of onslaught.
Well, and I think also people say, well, I could do that. Yeah. But day after day, month after month, and I
year after year.
Yeah. And that wears on you. And you're human. I think constant criticism about what you do, no matter what you
do. Not even and criticism, but not fair criticism, just ridiculous stuff.
Yeah. And most of what I see pointed at office holders, and whether they be at the local level or even at the congressional level, a lot of that stuff is so ridiculous. It is. I mean, they're blaming them for, you know, for the sun coming up 2 minutes later than they think it should. And I think maybe that's who you think you blame. You blame officials because they're responsible for everything. Well, they're really not. You know, they're there to control and direct our steps in a way that's good for the community. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, you know, these local elections have more impact on us overall.
Your day-to-day life, for sure.
Yeah, you see these people in the grocery store, you see these people in your everyday life, and they make decisions that directly impact on your property, on your well-being in a community.
No doubt. All right. Were you surprised at all that Bill Clevenger was named to serve on the Board of Education for DPS 61 to fill out the term of Dan Oaks? I was When I heard originally, I thought, that, well, I don't think that's true. You know, when I heard the rumor, and then when I heard the afternoon before the board meeting that this is what was expected to be happening, I was surprised.
I was a little surprised, and you think, you know, Bill has been so active in the community, and I can tell you from personal experience, you know, once you step away from that, you kind of feel lost. You still want to be involved, and so certainly, you know, Bill had the credentials, and he's been involved in a lot that's happened in this community, a great background. And I think also you have to factor in it's a position that you can have for some months and decide if it's something you want to run for election for. So that's kind of an advantage. It's only until next spring and say, you know, it gives me a chance to kind of test the water here and see if I want to continue.
Here's the thing that is interesting to me, because you have literally a fellow school board member. Who left on our podcast the green face, I would say it is the puke emoji, but what it actually means is it may represent physical illness or general disgust, but is like the emoji of being ready to vomit. That was from a fellow school board member that's welcoming him to the place.
A school board member then that's making decisions about our children and grandchildren and the future of education in Decatur. Yeah, that's not reassuring as far as having confidence in a board that you'd have a member doing something like that.
Why do you suppose? I don't get why there's such, you know, trust me, if you've ever served on a board, there's people on that board you like more than others, or people that you're friendlier with more than others, or people that you disagree with more than others. But before the guy even, you know, has a meeting, I mean, that just seems childish to me.
Well, it does. And it says this is the person you're going to be working with. I mean, this is a person that you're going to be making decisions with in the months ahead. And if anything, you ought to say, well, I'm glad we filled that position and looking forward to working with him.
And that's what
most people would do.
Right. And I don't think that there's anything controversial about Bill Clevenger. I mean, you could probably get somebody that equals his experience, but I don't know that you're going to get anybody that has any more experience. I mean, he's a college professor. He worked with, an elected board for 34 years in this community. His kids all went to District 61. I don't know that you're going to find anybody more qualified.
No, and I think also the fact he's worked with other public bodies. I know, when I was mayor, certainly talked and met with Bill and appreciated his input in a lot of ways. And he always sought for the city and the park district to work more closely together than they had in the past. And I think that evolved and came about. So Bill's got a lot of experience in with other boards and working with other people. And I don't know of, right off the top of my head, of anyone who has probably a more rounded experience resume as far as all aspects of the community than Bill has.
Yeah. Well, welcome to this. Yeah.
Bill, don't leave yet.
I think that this sort of displays the dysfunction that has been there for a while. Like, it seems like no matter who the superintendent is, and we've gone through, three or four, since Gloria was there for, a lengthy time, that there's always this sort of internal fighting or bitterness at a board level, this stuff that has really nothing to do with making those schools better for our kids or better for our teachers or better for the public. It just always feels childish to me.
Well, I think what I always look at, and certainly when I was mayor, I looked out, it's not about me or maybe a council member who doesn't agree with me. It's about the community. That's the reason you're there. And I think those who serve on the Board of Education, it's not about your likes or dislikes. It's about the kids. It's about the future of education in Decatur. It's about making things better, for the students. And you really need to concentrate on that. And it seems like in so many of these instances, we get away from that. Personalities start taking over. And that's not good for anybody. And it's not good for the ultimate goal of improving education in Decatur. And I would see Bill as one that would look forward to improving things in Decatur.
I can't imagine that he would put himself up for this kind of grief if he didn't have that motivation. Why else would you do it?
Yeah, and I think that motivation is honest.
They don't make a dime.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, you can't live on the money you make.
No, so what else would be the motivation?
Yeah, and the motivation is involvement in the community that you love, the community that's evolved, and you've been a part of a lot of things happening. I mentioned earlier, you know, when I was no longer mayor, at least I was so plugged in with the paper, and you know, I've been on your show for the last 20 years, and it's just like that didn't drop. But what if when I ceased being mayor, what if I retired and went to community? I think I would feel an emptiness there that, hey, I still want to contribute. You know, I still want to do things for this city that I love. And I see that Bill in that way. I mean, he's done so many things, been involved in so many plans for this community. Why wouldn't you want to say, hey, I can fill that position. I want to be a part of that. And I think I can fill a need there. And so good for him. And I'm glad to see that decision was made. And that's the person who was appointed.
Yeah. I know I've got like six texts. It was Kevin, Dr. Kevin Brian Collins. Brian's got like six names. He's a nurse practitioner, goes by doctor. That's the school board member. I'm not trying to start anything individually with the guy, but, you know, that's the thing that was left. You know, maybe he wanted somebody else, or maybe there was somebody else who applied that he was, you know, in favor of. All that's fine. I just think that this is just juvenile. You're supposed to be there. Yeah. Setting the tone for the kids in this community, not acting like them.
Well, and maybe somebody else on the board wanted somebody else. You know, I don't know.
I get it.
This is the person that was chosen. This is the person that was agreed to. And now let's work with that person. I mean, build someone you can work with.
Well, but if you're smart, I mean, how does this even, how are you going to, I mean, you've laid the bridge now to like, you know, I'm sure he's going to come in and listen to everything you have to say.
Yeah, he's probably going to look at your face, see if it's turning green. He's talking.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either.
All right, let's talk about local races, state level, federal level. Right now, we're starting our interviews back on Monday with political candidates. We just had to have a break. I had to have a break. Audience had to have a break. So we start September, 19th, back in the saddle with our candidates. I'm interested in the race for the 13th congressional district. It seems now just a back and forth of emails and accusations and, oh, I'm appalled. I don't know how that's resonating or playing with the voters. I don't know what's going to be the outcome, but Nikki Budzinski and Regan Deering, where are you this week on this race?
I don't know. It's escalating in terms of pointing the finger at each other. And, the two worst people on the face of the earth, if you listen to or read some of these news releases I'm getting, I'm sure you're getting the same ones. Yeah, that the earth is going to come to an end if we elect either one of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think the thing that bothers me also is that they always have someone making these negative comments, and then they'll go to the candidate for maybe a little softer comment, but like a campaign manager is, and the headlines even scream that, you know, like, don't elect this person. I think Regan has been put in the position that she's a serious challenger in a district that was created for a Democrat to win, for Nikki to win.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think she's made some inroads, and I certainly think that she has them concerned, and she is not lining up with, Donald Trump and some of these. There's others.
Do we know that?
Well, she hasn't made that any part of her campaign that I know of.
Well, I haven't seen anything either. The only thing, and we'll have them on. I like both of these ladies and enjoy talking to them, and they're good interviews.
Yeah.
But everything I have been told behind the scenes was that Dan Calkins was the driving force and getting her to run for this office.
Yeah, and I heard that. And I heard that earlier. And that when I talked to Regan Deering, she indicated that Rodney Davis, you know, helped her a lot in terms of kind of giving her some briefings, you know, of what to expect in that. So I think she was fairly close to Rodney, and she thanked him for that.
This seems to be the major focus, in my opinion, over the last number of weeks, has been abortion in that race, right?
Yeah.
And you have Nikki Budzinski, who's very clear on her position of being pro-choice, and the other side, Regan's gotten a lot of money from some of these organizations, or at least endorsements from these organizations that are very much the opposite way. They're two women in a debate that's raging across this country about something that will make a difference, I think, in November. I really do, one way or the other. Will that be what it solely comes down to?
Well, so far, it seems that's what it's coming down to in this particular race. I think Regan Deering's position is not as stringent as some of the positions.
Well, I don't know. First it seemed kind of it was, and then it kind of wasn't. And so, depending on what, look, they'll both be in. They can answer these questions themselves. I just feel like because you have two strong women, you know, in this race with the nation debating this whole thing, this will play a huge role in this race. This one position.
Yeah, I think maybe in this race more than other races, because I think other people are certainly concerned now about inflation and just everything else. But I think front and center in this particular race, the abortion issue has become the issue, as at least so far. And maybe that will change a little bit. I don't know. It seems like maybe they're concentrating more and more on this issue as we move along. And if that's going to be the only issue, then it'll come down to either one of them winning, probably based on that issue.
I will tell you this, and there's people that don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. Across the nation, and not every single race everywhere, but in large numbers, Republicans are backpedaling on some of this, scrubbing their websites of past statements and other things, because this stuff isn't polling well. They're seeing the numbers, and women voters are, and I think that's why this is being pushed into this race so much, is Democrats feel like they have an advantage. Now, if they do, we'll find out, that first week in November. But there's a lot of Republicans kind of trying to say, well, don't pay attention to this. Let's go over here, because they're worried about women.
Well, I think there's been a lot of statements made, at the federal level, that a lot of the Republicans are not comfortable with, just totally eliminating abortions, period, across the board, that kind of talk coming out of the Capitol.
Going after a doctor for taking care of a 12-year-old kid who was raped. That kind of stuff is never going to play to the American people.
And Republicans sense this.
Particularly old white guys doing it.
Yeah. I think that's why some Republicans are backing away from that. There are those that, and I think the position of Regan Deering has always been, in case of rape or incest, and there are some exceptions, the life of the mother. And I think a lot of people have accept that, but it's come down to either or. It just comes down. You got two choices.
We don't do nuance, Paul. You know that.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not hardwired into our DNA, evidently.
But
too much of life is nuance. That's the the thing is, we're hardwired to be our own worst enemy, because most of life is nuance, and we're not capable of nuance.
Well, I think you're right, though. I think in the 13th, though, I have noticed that in the news releases that now come out almost daily.
Well, and you're also playing to that University of Illinois crowd. I mean, there's a lot of factors that weren't in play in late June.
Well, I think, and I think also you realize that the 13th district is not Decatur or Macon County. It reaches other places that don't share maybe similar views as many of the people in this county.
We'll see. It'll be an interesting election. All right, Paul, we appreciate it. Have a great week and a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Paul Osborne. Here's Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 84, and tonight partly cloudy, low of 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high of 84, and Saturday sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 57 degrees. Your WSOY time, 727. And this look at your weather brought to you by Moroa Lumber Company. Quality materials, trusted knowledge, and expertise.
Add curb appeal with the new Therma-True entry door from Moroa Lumber. Whether you want the look of real wood or a pop of color, you'll find a wide variety of styles to choose from. Therma-True doors are durable and energy efficient. They won't rot like wood or dent or rust like steel. They offer up to 4 times the insulation value of most wood doors and carry outstanding warranties. No wonder they're the most preferred entry door brand among building professionals. Discover the Therma-True doors at Moroa Lumber, 229 East Main in Moroa.
Baseball swept into Illinois after the Civil War, spawning a club in Decatur and an ambitious tournament in what is now Fairview Park, all before survival of the sport was a done deal. I'm Bob Sampson, the baseball historian, and I invite you to join me at 1 p.m. Saturday, September 17th at Lincoln Trail Homestead State Park, west of Decatur. Learn how the game was played when fielders barehanded the ball and gentlemanly behavior was the ideal. Appeal. For more information, find the Friends of Lincoln Trail Homestead on Facebook.
Hola amigos, my name is Carmen Rivera. I am a board member with Chico, a local advocacy organization that connects Hispanics and immigrant families to resources, cultural opportunities, and youth development. In partnership with United Way, we are excited to bring you our second annual Hispanic Heritage Cultural Celebration, Sunday, September 25th from noon to 4 p.m. at Fairview Park. Enjoy local food trucks, vendors, and entertainers for a unique cultural experience. For information, go to nowdecatur.com. Muchas gracias.
This is R.J. Crace with your stories now. The annual Duck Derby is coming to the Children's Museum of Illinois a week from Saturday, the 24th, from 10 to 2. The Derby will see up to 5,000 numbered rubber ducks race in heats throughout the day down a water-propelled racetrack. The winning duck gets a grand prize of $3,000. Also, three lucky ducks worth $200 apiece are being drawn weekly on WSOY's Byers & Company until the event. Macon County Environmental Management will once again host a TV and electronics recycling collection event a week from Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. Unwanted electronics like TVs, video devices, gaming systems, and computer equipment will be collected from those who set up an appointment. Registration is required. There's no appointment necessary to visit our website. Stop by anytime to see more stories, podcasts, and videos. Our address, nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. There's an agreement announced to prevent a rail strike at midnight.
The White House is celebrating a tentative deal to avoid a major rail strike that threatened to crush the U.S. supply chain. A statement from the president reads in part, "The tentative agreement reached tonight is an important win for our economy and the American people."
Fox's Kevin Cork. The deal comes with better pay and working conditions. There's a 4-mile, 35-hour-long line to see Queen Elizabeth's casket in London.
The coffin will be guarded around the clock until it's taken to Westminster Abbey for her funeral, which is set for Monday. Following that, it will be taken on a final procession, ending at St. George's Chapel, where she will be laid to rest near her husband, Prince Philip.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The family that owns the Patagonia Outdoor Clothing Company has donated it to a trust set up to donate all profits to fight climate change and protect undeveloped land, about $100 million a year. America's listening to Fox News.
Macon County CASA and Newhoff Media invite you to the third annual CASA Gatsby Gala, Saturday, October 15th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. This 1920s Gatsby party includes cocktails, cuisine, silent and live auctions, a little mystery, and a special performance by eclectic cover band Capital Sound, all supporting CASA's mission to advocate for local children who have been abused and neglected and are in need of safe, permanent homes. It's the 2022 CASA Gatsby Gala, and tickets are on sale now.
Visit MaconCountyCASA.org/events.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 84. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high of 84. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 57 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Each and every weekday morning, we check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right. A very popular story on nowdecatur.com was about these two Millikan students signing their first NIL deal with a local sponsor. This is pretty cool.
It is really cool. A number of developments have had a major impact on the college sports landscape fairly recently. One of them is the is the transfer portal, the ability for an athlete to transfer to another school once without having to sit out. It's created a sort of sense of college sports free agency, if you will. If a player isn't entirely happy at their initial school, whether it's happy with playing time or with the coaches or with the weather or with teammates or with mean, nasty fans on social media, it doesn't matter. They can pack up and move. It has certainly created an element of chaos. Another development is the ability of athletes to be compensated for the use of their name, image, and likeness. And this can mean big bucks, really big bucks for certain athletes in big programs, and it can be a significant factor in recruiting. They said they didn't want it to be. Too bad it is. The quarterback at Alabama, the quarterback at Ohio State can pull in seven figures in name, image, and likeness deals. But many athletes are at least getting something, albeit way less, in some type of name, image, likeness compensation. And earlier this summer, I used our Sport Talk show platform to campaign for a name, image, and likeness deal for Millikan athletes. It makes so much sense to me, and not seven figures. This is a way for local businesses to get involved with local athletes at a modest level, and picking the right kind of athlete and develop an association with them in a local business. And lo and behold, it's happened. Peerless Cleaners has struck an NIL deal with Millikan University women's basketball player Elise Knutson and Millikan wrestler Jordan Carson. They are both highly successful athletes and students. We don't know what all the details are. And honestly, that's not that important. Maybe they'll appear in an ad. They can be compensated with money. They can be compensated with free dry cleaning. It's up to whatever deal they can come. The bottom line is they're going to get something. And until NIL came along, athletes could get nothing. And I think there's been some missed opportunities with Millikan athletes. Millikan had a women's basketball player who was in the nursing program. A wonderful opportunity there for one of the local hospitals to get involved with her, strike up a relationship, and it could have led to employment. Nursing employment's hard to come by. I mean, this is there was a chance there. So I think businesses and athletes have both got to be creative, open-minded. In the case of working with Millikan athletes, not greedy. You know, you're not going to get rich probably, but it's a start. And I'm delighted for those two athletes that they got their foot in the door, and hopefully more will follow.
Yeah, thanks to Brad Wyke and all the crew at Peerless. On the other side of the break with Mark Tupper, we'll do Illini Hoops, Cards, Thursday Night Football, previews tonight, Sport Talk. It's all brought to you by First National Bank, the quality bank, now open in downtown Decatur.
Hi, I'm Drew Peabody, Vice President at First National Bank of Decatur. Home ownership is one of the most important parts of life, and my job for the last 6 years has been to help people of Central Illinois through the process. At FNB, we offer a wide range of products and competitive rates to make the dream of home ownership a reality. Come see why people have been trusting the Quality Bank with their home financing projects since 1930. I'm Drew Peabody, and I can't wait to help you get into your dream home. First National Bank of Decatur, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, let's start with Illini basketball.
Illinois basketball student season tickets went on sale yesterday and sold out in 36 minutes. Interest is very high. There's 6 weeks until the first exhibition game. It's a fascinating team. It's so fascinating to me because it's loaded with talent, but it's talent we have either never seen, or at least we haven't seen them in the combinations that Brad Underwood will be throwing out there on the floor. The last few years, so much has hung on the skills of Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn, and now for the first time in 4 years, neither of them is around. Seven new players, all of whom could play a role, at least three of whom could be starting. And what's that going to look like? We don't know, but apparently people want to pony up and have a courtside seat to see what the heck this is all going to look like. Illinois has put together the best Big Ten conference record in the league over the last 3 years. The program has gone from middle of the pack, nationally inconsequential, to the most successful stretch in the history of the program, nationally relevant. So it's no surprise that the level of interest and demand for tickets is very high. And all of this is acknowledging the fact that they still have not had the level of NCAA tournament success that everyone wants. But this is a very good sign, and we'll continue to see where this goes as more tickets, single game tickets, come on sale here in the coming weeks. Cardinals beat Milwaukee 4-1 last night. Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina set the record for most games started together as a battery. And Waino went five innings, then four scoreless innings from the bullpen. They are up eight games on Milwaukee with 19 to go. Time is slipping away. If you are trying to play from behind, the Cardinals are not. They're playing from the lead. They play Cincinnati at St. Louis tonight, 7:15. Tonight is also the debut of Thursday night NFL football on Amazon Prime, Chargers and Chiefs. Make sure you know how to get that game if you haven't played around with your Amazon Prime service. And Sport Talk tonight from 5 to 6, Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio talking about Major League Baseball, the various races, Albert's quest for 700, Illinois football, and this Sunday night's Bears-Packers game. Hope you can join us at 5 o'clock tonight.
All right, looking forward to it, Mark. We'll see you tonight at 5. If you're not able to join the guys live, you can always check out the podcast at nowdecatur.com. Once again, if you got iOS 16, it was just released, what, 2 days ago, you have to go to the App Store, search nowdecatur.com's app, and then just hit the download button. It'll take like 4 seconds, and you're good to go.
Easy.
And it may in a couple of days be worked out anyway. I don't know. This stuff always, there's back and forth, right?
Always. Yep. Happens all the time.
Yeah. I'm used to just, you know, we don't normally have a lot of issues like that. I mean, normally when there's updates or whatever, it's just, you know, if you have your phone set to do automatic updates, it takes care of itself.
Sure.
And it might eventually with this, I don't know. But if you're streaming or whatever today, that's the reason why. All right. On the other side of the break, we'll have a guest in from Richland Community College. And a little bit after that, do you know that they're expecting the Queen's funeral to become the most watched broadcast of all time?
I did know that, and I'm not surprised.
I am a little. I mean, a little. When you think about when TVs were the only thing in a home and Robert Kennedy was assassinated, or I'm a little surprised.
And this isn't counting like streaming or online or.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it probably is. But I'm talking about when your only choice was to watch something, you know, and we did it collectively live. I mean, that's the way Monday Night Football would look, you know, or whatever else, Super Bowls. 4.1 billion viewers is what they're expecting.
I believe it. I mean, she was the queen of a lot of countries, and it's been she's been there a long time, and there's more people these days. I mean, it all stacks up to be a once in a lifetime sort of must-see television.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I'm not questioning the projections. I'm just saying, yeah. I don't know what time. I mean, I don't know when I'm going. I mean, when is it?
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
It's this weekend. Or no, it's Monday the 19th.
Okay.
10 days after her death of September 9th. And industry experts have suggested a staggering 4.1 billion viewers could watch the funeral. If this happens, it will smash the previous record. Can you tell me what the previous record was?
No.
Oh, you're so close to it.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Is it the Super Bowl?
In so many ways. No.
It's not a death?
Nope.
Oh, I got nothing then. Just having a complete blank.
It was the 1996 Atlanta Olympics opening games when Muhammad Ali lit the torch.
Man.
1996, 3.5 billion people watched that.
I was there. Not at the torch lighting, but I was at those Olympics.
That's why I said you're so close.
Wow.
There you have it.
Because I didn't watch it on TV. That's
yeah, whatever. Just a little off today.
I'm just kidding.
You get enough sleep last night?
No.
Okay. Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm just tired.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. I'm good.
It's tiring getting up when we get up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, and when it's pitch black out.
I know. It's going to be that way for a long time now.
Yeah. So I'm adjusting.
All right. Got to put your, just keep putting your nose to the grindstone or whatever it is they say to do.
Yeah, I'll do that. I don't have a grindstone, but I'll
stiff
do it.
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, I need that.
All right. We'll be back with more right after this.
Did you know one of the many ways the Community Foundation of Macon County supports our community is through grants? Hi, this is Rachel Moran, Director of Communications for the Community Foundation of Macon County, and I'm here to share that we are accepting applications for our Impact 100 grant from September 1st to October 1st. Each year, the Impact 100 grant supports nonprofit programs that build capacity and support individual and community well-being. This year's funding focus supports mental health, social enrichment, and engagement programming. Nonprofit organizations are encouraged to apply. The Community Foundation of Macon County and its donors are committed to strengthening our community and creating a better quality of life for all. It is through the generosity of our donors that programs like the Impact 100 grant sustain Macon County for generations to come. For more information on the Impact 100 grant, please visit our website at MaconCountyGives.org or call 217-429-3000.
Hi, this is Dan Martini, letting you know about the first-class service you get with First Mid Insurance Group, providing Central Illinois insurance coverage for over 100 years. We specialize insurance for your business and represent A-rated insurance companies such as West Bend Insurance. We guarantee you superior service, building trust through expertise to help make your business secure. We assess your needs and offer you a variety of insurance products and services. Service, whether it is in response to an insurance claim or just a general question, is the most important value we can offer you. Call us today at 217-877-3344, First Mid Insurance.
Want to generate more leads for your home improvement business? Menards offers contractors the opportunity to promote their services in our installer center. We encourage you to connect with our guests because we're your supplier, not your competitor. Contact one of our team members at any of your surrounding Menards store locations to inquire about the free program and get enrolled in our installer center today.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We're back here on a Thursday. Richland Community College celebrating their 50th anniversary, 50 years of changing lives. Each and every Thursday, we take some time to dial down into something that's happening on the campus of Richland. Allison Shapira joins us, lead success coach for Richland Community College, and happy to have you with us here today. What is Fresh Check Day?
Good morning. So Fresh Check Day is the signature program for the Jordan Porco Foundation. So it focuses on mental health and suicide prevention across college campuses. So Jordan's parents started this after he committed suicide his freshman year of college. So they turned their, you know, pain into something good to raise awareness across campuses that this is an issue and we need mental health services for our students.
Okay, so when does this take place? Today?
It will be Tuesday, September 20th.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Next week, yes. Next Tuesday. And what will it look like?
So it is a really cool event.
Okay.
It has interactive booths. So we're going to have about 6 booths, that students can rotate around. Each booth has a game or a project that they complete to raise awareness about that specific booth. And there's going to be entertainment, free food, giveaways. So it should be really fun.
All right. Walk me through some of the types of booths. You have education on mental health, effects of sexual assault, suicide awareness, acceptance of themselves and others, knowing your limit about alcohol and drug awareness. There's several different categories.
Correct. Yes. So, we are pulling in everyone on campus. So faculty, students, staff, some of our clubs and organizations. So each booth is going to be run by those folks. So yeah, Rise Up is one of the booths. So this is education on mental health effects of sexual assault. So we are going to have Growing Strong on campus to help us with that booth. Be yourself, so self-acceptance and acceptance of others. The most important booth, so there is a requirement to have 9 out of 10. So that is a suicide awareness and prevention. Know your limit, drug and alcohol awareness, mood matters, which increases awareness and reduces stigma surrounding anxiety and mood disorders. And then we have a couple of overall wellness and activity. And so our fitness center is running that booth. I think there's going to be a really fun obstacle course for them to get involved in for that.
Okay. And then also crossing is going to be there, along with Growing Strong, about in-person counseling. And then, you know, what to me is the future of all of this and maybe getting people the help they need is this meta teletherapy, you know, where people can access help online.
Right. So, you know, if a student has anxiety about, you know, coming to campus or talking to somebody, Meta is a teletherapy app that they can download on their smartphone and connect to counselors. So they do have a choice on, you know, who they're connecting with and who they prefer, and can connect with them at any time. So it gives them that flexibility, for, you know, if they need it, it's there.
All right. And this takes place next Tuesday from 11 to 1 on campus for, like you said, faculty, staff, students, everyone.
Yes. Yes.
What do you find is, you know, clearly all of these things are huge issues to tackle, and you're not going to solve it in a couple of hours on a Tuesday.
No.
But getting people to resources or letting them know they're not alone, you know, to those who are maybe a little nervous about it, this, still there's so much stigma attached to a lot of this that people are afraid, like, oh, if I go look at this, people think I need help. You know, this is a welcoming thing for everybody to participate in, and everybody can work on their mental health. Everyone.
Exactly. Yes. So, and I think that's why it's nice that it is an interactive event. So you're not just walking up to a table and saying, I need help. But it's more fun and involved. So I think it's a really fun event. I have noticed that students are a little bit more open to some of their mental health issues with our success coach team, because we coach instead of just advise. Students do get to know us and are more open with us. We develop those relationships so that they can share with us their mental health concerns.
All right. Allison Shapiro, lead success coach at Richland Community College. Once again, they're celebrating 50 years of changing lives. Is this the future of, you know, you guys seem so full service on your campus. I mean, yeah, I have to go to math class, but I also have all of this other incredible support, including success coaches.
Yes, that's true. We have so many different services, including food pantry for food insecurity, mental health services. Our foundation helps students with any emergencies. So we do a great job of supporting our students for sure. And because we're such a small campus, our instructors get to know our students. And just this week, one of the professors came to us and said, you know, the student isn't showing up. I think there's a concern. I reached out to the student. Sure enough, you know, some issues were going on, and I got to connect that student with services. So we do really care for our students.
Yeah, that's just not going to happen on every campus in the United States of America for sure. Well, keep up the great work. Thanks for sharing today, and I hope a lot of people participate next Tuesday. Here's Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 84. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 84. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 61 degrees. Your WSOY time is 7:52. This look at your weather brought to you by Shaner's Towing. Fast, reliable, 24-hour towing in the Decatur area. Call 217-875-2200.
When you have have car trouble and need a tow, trust Shaner's Towing. Shaner's of Decatur is your best choice for business towing solutions in Central Illinois. Roadside assistance, farming, towing and recovery, auto repairs and tires and more. If you're looking for a fast and reliable partner for all auto and heavy duty needs, just visit shanerstowing.com. Trust Shaner's and save their number, 875-2200. That's 875-2200. When accidents happen, when you need a repair, trust Shaner's Towing.
Nerds. Here at NerdWallet, we often see people struggle with financial decisions, like with Helen. Hey, Helen.
Hello.
Helen, you're all over the place.
I'm trying to pick a rewards credit card, and I've ended up, well, everywhere.
With NerdWallet, you don't have to feel all over the place. NerdWallet has side-by-side comparisons of top credit cards, so whether you need a card for groceries or travel, the smartest card for you is right there.
Wow. Now I'm in one place with the right travel rewards card. Nice.
Nice indeed. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions.
Experience an event like never before at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater on October 8th. The Devon Untapped Craft Beer and Music Festival will feature tastes of regional breweries, music from two local bands, and plenty of games. Feeling special? Check out the VIP party with early entry and exclusive access to rare brews and mouthwatering food. Proceeds from the Devon Untapped event benefit the Decatur Area Arts Council and Decatur Parks Foundation. Visit DevonAmphitheater.com to get your tickets to the Devon on Tap Craft Beer and Music Festival on October 8th.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Gonna raise a holler. Feel like that myself some mornings.
Yeah, raising hollers.
Nah, I'm not about the drama. People ask about that. It's like, I'd rather not have it, to be honest with you. I'd rather come in here and talk about how many people were gonna watch the Queen's funeral.
Billions.
The biggest broadcast of all time.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole world. We tend to think of things of like, oh, yeah, but MASH. It's like, okay, yeah, here. This is the globe.
Right.
The entire globe. And we all know how uncomfortable people can be with that. Because it's not just like us. I was curious. I had a couple emails about, you know, inquiring about which school board member had put the pukey face up on the podcast with their new compatriot sworn in officially Tuesday and then was with us Wednesday with the president of the Board of Education for District 61. And I went to the public schools page, and I was just curious about the school board's responsibilities. I mean, we all, I think, or I guess they say board member expectations. Board members should strive for 90% attendance at meetings, which includes open session, closed executive session committees. Board members should be present and visible throughout the school district, which includes extracurricular events, community events relevant to educational topics, etc. Presence and visibility should not be just by invitation for large events and ceremonies, but actively engaged in and seeking information about the schools we serve through school visits and open lines of communication with school leadership. Board members should be committed to completing an annual 360 self-evaluation of themselves individually and the board as a whole. Board members should be committed to an annual time of retreat and planning in advance of the coming school year. Board members should be committed to making sure our district's committees reflect the present needs of DPS and that board members serve on the committees where their gifts and talents can be put best to use. Establish a practice of an annual joint municipal board meeting, city, park, and possibly county in order to promote open lines of communication. Board members are encouraged to make a financial contribution to the DPS 61 Foundation. Establish a district-wide strategic plan, active discussion by all board members in meeting as appropriate, send delegates, to both states, IASB, you know, the annual conferences in Chicago and national school board conventions, add a student representative to the board. Board members should be able to be available for evening and or weekend meetings regularly. Sending out a blanket response of not available on evening and weekend request is not acceptable. That's that's so-so. As far as being drawn out exactly.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of be it things. You know, sometimes a board member can offer way more to a board than just being at things.
Yeah, sure.
And then some people like to do that, and that's great too. You know, you get at graduation at Eisenhower, there were several board members that were there, right?
Right.
Part of the process. I get that. Makes sense. I think what's way more important to District 61 is strategic thinking and planning and organization and an abundance of not reacting but being proactive in this community. And realizing you're not going to get everything you want, but coming to some sort of consensus to what's best for the community, the kids, the staff. Probably isn't leaving puke emojis on your latest board member to join you. Somewhere in there, there's something about being childish. Just saying. We'll be back with more right after this.
We're everywhere you are. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The Decatur Police Department made 28 DUI arrests during the recent Labor Day campaign. In addition, 3 seatbelt citations were written, all of which occurred during nighttime hours. DPD joined other law enforcement agencies and highway safety partners throughout the state for the Labor Day traffic safety campaign. Head out to Overlook Adventure Park this Saturday from 8 to 10:30 p.m. for the first ever Glow Ropes course event. Participants can climb up high on the ropes course lit by LED lights. Guests are welcome to take the course in 30-minute intervals. Registration is required for this event. Go to nowdecatur.com for ticket information. Also on our website.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.